Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey, everybody. Looking forward to chatting with you today on our podcast. Today's topic and what we're going to be discussing is the good, bad, and ugly when it comes to pitch decks and PowerPoint videos. But before we dive right into it, let's just say hello to Dave. How's it going, bud?
Hello, Mr. Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, you know, it's always fun when we can talk about something that you and I do or mess with a lot of, you know, PowerPoints, pitch decks, slide decks, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, when recently Avalanche Media put out a presentation on the good, the bad, and the ugly of pitch decks, and we thought that it would probably be something... you know, good to chat about for, you know, one of these podcast episodes. And so, I guess really, if you have some thoughts on us or thoughts on it, just go ahead and kick us off and, we'll go from there.
Well, the first thing I would say is that we have talked about PowerPoint before, and we talked about like how not to make crappy or sucky PowerPoints, and that was based on the one Swedish guy. It was a cool video where he talks about the different things. So I will let you explain a pitch deck, but I was also thinking about the different uses. So someone's going to be like, well, I don't do pitch decks. I don't do this. If you ever have to give a presentation internally, knowing how to break things down and how to present them to your boss, to your boss's superiors, to be able to break down your social, what you've been doing, your wins, your losses from your social, from your SEO, from your paid search, from your development, like how to do any of that really can help you get more budget, win over favor from other people. It sounds really weird, but if you can make your boss's life easy or help your boss or other people be able to pitch internally, this isn't just for an agency. Like when I think pitch deck, I think an agency going to try to win that big contract.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, like the first thing that comes to my mind is for whatever reason, the C-suite, the person that you're talking about, the exact, you know, the boss, they seem to speak the pitch deck language. They love that a lot more than, you know, if someone just comes in and is like, hey, I got a great idea, or hey, I want you to check this out, or hey, you know, our numbers are up, but we should be investing more in this, you know, like, that's not going to do it. You know, we've talked many times about the power of visuals and how we're all like more visual learners. And so a lot of time, like with what you were just, you know, getting at is this is going to help drive the point home. You know, it's going to be able to express those goals that you've accomplished in a visual way. It's going to help them understand the different opportunities that they have. And, it's just going to make it much easier for them to say yes or no. And I think that's kind of what you were getting at.
Yeah. Just helping if you're an agency person, anytime you can create those, I really don't miss doing QBRs, quarterly business review, where you sit down and you have this like long day. Sometimes it's in person, sometimes it's on the phone, but you go through like all of these wins and all of these things and all of these deliverables and, you know, rankings and spend and, you know, whatever the goals were, whatever the metrics were, whatever we were trying to work on, project progress, you know, project managers are dropping in stuff. Everyone's dropping in tons of stuff. You just come up with this crazy document and, you know, but then there's also pitch decks where I think of when you're trying to win business. And again, you know, not just for agencies, it's in-house too.
Well, yeah, exactly. And think about this. Think about those people that are going out and working with investors or trying to get seed money or trying to get started. I mean, think about this. Like in some cases, people are going for hundreds of thousands, if not millions or tens of millions of dollars. And it's funny because, you know, we talk to these people and, you know, most of, you know, it just all depends on what they're going for because, you know, most of the time people want a beautiful slide deck, you know, a pitch deck put together because, you know, even if it's going to take a lot of work on our end, even if it's going to be a couple thousand dollars, the way that they've explained it is, look, I'm going into this meeting to try to get $5 million or $10 million. You're not going to want them creating, you know, something out of a PowerPoint on Google Docs or whatever it's called, you know, presentation from Google. Like, you're going to want to have something solid put together that's going to help them remember you and set you apart. And that's kind of, you know, that to me, that's where the power of a good pitch deck comes in, and the purpose of a pitch deck, because we've done a lot of pitch decks for people over the years. And, you know, that's the thing that they're all saying, you know, that's the common theme, I guess, is, look, I'm going in to try to win $5 million, $10 million, $20 million, whatever it is. You know, I think that this should be as good as it possibly can be. So it helps drive that point across, you know.
Agree. So we'll look at the good, just going from the original article on Avalanche, it's, you know, talking about one of the first things is audience, of course. But the use of space, you pick one and then I'll pick one. Audience, use of space, fonts, visual hierarchy, and rule of thirds. All right. Which one you want to jump into?
Yeah, sure. I'll kind of jump into. And again, with fonts, I think this one is, you know, for some people, and again, you and I know these type of people, but if you have different fonts in a presentation or even different sizes or different things like that, it's going to drive some people crazy. Okay. But also, and I think that, you know, when we talked about this, you know, several podcasts ago, just the type of background on a certain the text on a background, the colors and things like that. And so obviously, you know, people love to make fun of, Comic Sans and things like that, but there's a reason, because again, when you're using, when you're getting into this and you're putting this together, you want to make sure that it doesn't like mess up when you're presenting. You want to make sure that the fonts are ones that are universal, that show up best against whatever kind of background that you have, you know, darkness, whatever. You want to make sure that it's not too big or small. You want to make sure that it just flows well, okay? And so, again, you know, the worst thing, and this has happened to me before when I first got started with just presenting in general. There would be a font that I thought was really cool and I loved it, and I'd get it and it would look perfect. Then I'd go and present, and like half of it would be off the screen, or some of it would be a different part when I load that on a different computer that maybe didn't have that font and it's trying to do its best to pick that up. You know what I'm saying? And so again, just make sure you minimize the risks of fonts not showing up properly by making sure that on whatever computer you're presenting at, like let's say you created it on a different computer or a Mac or a PC, you know, that kind of stuff, just make sure that you have the fonts loaded on whatever computer that you're using to minimize any kind of screw-ups.
Yes, I always use basic fonts. And people are like, why don't you do... I'm like, nope. I'd have no idea what it's going to look like, where it's going to go. I'm like, I'm going to send it off somewhere. Someone else is going to tweak it. You know, I've had problems where I've loaded it and it wasn't as bad as stuff off the thing, but suddenly it was nice and clean and neat. And then it's like, it's now five sizes bigger and it really doesn't, you know, look right.
Right.
Let me see from those. I think audience for me is like one of the most important things. It's who are you presenting it to? You know, as us speakers, it's not just, and I always start a quiz whenever I speak, and I know you've seen me do it, but it's like, who's in-house, who's agency? Who's a social media person, who's an SEO person? Who's got experience, who doesn't? When you're in-house, or if you're presenting, are you presenting this to your boss? I had an argument with, I forget who. No, maybe I know who, but I won't say just in case I'm wrong. But it was like, why would you do a technical audit and deliver it in PowerPoint? And the argument was, well, I have to break this down and then I have to present it to the technical, you know, developer and get buy-in from them. Then I have to take it and I have to break it down again and present it to the developer's boss who's going to give the okay for their hours. Then I have to go to my boss who's in marketing or my boss who's in communications or my boss who's in the social team and get approval. And then I have to take it to them. So each time it's the same kind of content, but everything in your presentation, what you highlight, the points, and maybe even some of the visuals can change based on who you're presenting it to. and who their background is and what their goals are and what they actually care about. So I think first thing always has to be audience when you're thinking of your presentation.
Yeah, I like that. You know, and again, I love how you start off a lot of your presentations, and I try to do a lot of things that way because, you know, you just want to capture them. And so again, you know, whether, you know, we're talking about with audience, whether you're getting them just through your presentation style or you're getting them through, you know, what's on the actual deck and helping that make it flow. But yeah, capturing that audience and getting, showing them that you're interested in them. And that's why I love of going about that side of it. And then obviously, you know, just going through more of these points on here, the visual hierarchy, obviously, you know, Avalanche, and what we're known for, we do a lot of.
Do you guys do visual stuff?
Yeah, really? You know, we've been known to. And so, again, it's the same thing. When you're designing this pitch deck, you need to have some kind of a guide. And again, this is where you could get, you know, obviously your designers need to get involved with the people that you're working with and everybody that needs to approve stuff. But this is where, you know, as just as far as on our end, we use color theory to create focal points. And then we work on each slide to make sure that they're consistent throughout the whole deck. And again, like you've seen a lot of the presentations that I've given, and each one of them either has a theme or each slide is basically like an Avalanche theme, or it's gonna look consistent. Like there is no random, like I just pulled this from one deck or pulled this from another or just kind of threw this in. There's nothing that when I'm going through it that's going to visually like kind of be distractive to people or going to be kind of any kind of distraction. And so, again, that's kind of what we're trying to do when we're talking about a visual hierarchy. Create something that is, you know, a theme or consistent, not going to throw people off, having that consistency. And, you know, some of, you know, I look back to, because I upload all my decks to SlideShare. And some of the most shared decks that I have are those ones that are better common theme. Like when they have a theme or they're consistent throughout the whole thing, those ones seem to be shared the most. Those are the ones that have tens of thousands of views or downloads.
Like your Stranger Things from like, what is that, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, the Stranger Things was a good one. The I had a Walking Dead one, but funny enough, one of the ones that's done the best is I had a Simpsons theme.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you just go with something people love anyway. But yeah, that's just some thoughts there.
Yeah, and I was thinking of the audience, but also your point about when you upload it to SlideShare. A lot of my presentations are very, very light on words and anything. Yeah. Sometimes it's just a photo. And we kind of goes back to that previous show we did where, the dog's awake.
when you tell them to put the dog out or keep them quiet while you're recording, you know, it never happens.
No. Actually, that's probably the first time for us.
So we're human here, people. We have dogs or cats.
Yeah, I have cats.
You might hear, you know, Dave's cat purring in the mic and rubbing up on it, but, you know, anyway.
I put the desk up. They cannot jump 6 feet up.
Anyway, sorry about that.
Well, folks. No, but just about where it lives, and, like, I'm usually very against using, like, tons of bullet points. But if your goal is to put it on SlideShare or to put it on a internal intranet, and you're not going to be giving the presentation, you kind of have to think about that. You might have to put more content, more stuff on there. So, you know.
Or at the very least, at least make sure you have notes. Because you know how there's a note section. And most of the time when you upload it to SlideShare, it will pull those notes over. And so at least, at the very least, have those on for people so they can kind of get the point of the slide. But that's a great, great point, Dave.
Yeah, because if I ever upload my stuff, you're not going to get much.
Yeah. Well, same with us. A lot of times, the visuals. Yeah, for sure.
So that's the good.
Let's talk about the what not to do.
What not to do.
So I'll just kind of you know, jump into, and again, this, like, if, and again, I've done this. I've been the ones that have, you know, I've given presentations where I've done stuff like this with, animations and whatnot. And again, it goes back to making sure that it's going to work on the computer that you're presenting. Sometimes it doesn't work well. Sometimes it doesn't, you know, it's distractive. Sometimes, you know, again, for the sake of trying to make about as perfect of a deck as you can, which is what we're talking about here, if they're not really contributing to your overall point, just leave them out. I mean, if it's meant just to get a laugh or whatever, most of the time, if you're in a room with people that you're trying to get tens of millions of dollars from, or even millions, thousands even, don't distract them with something. Like, they're not there to laugh at a cat gif. I mean, I understand, you know, again, it goes back to audience and what you're doing, but in the case of a pitch deck, you know, most of the time you can leave them out because, again, you know, like it says in the presentation or in the blog post that we're going off of, there's no place for distracting noises in a slide deck. And so that's just one thing to think about.
I'm trying to think. I think the one that, and it's, and actually the example in the blog post is hilarious because it's like, this slide makes my head hurt. It's it's green buildings, green products. What is doing what well is the title of the slide. And it's just the entire slide is just a blue background and words.
It's so hard to read.
Like,
so
what's the point of this?
Yeah.
Like, the goal of a slide really should be one point, maybe one point and something to support it quickly.
Yep.
But if you want someone to, you know, read stuff, you put one thing on there and then you talk about it. And you can have 500 slides and go through them really quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
The wife and I have talked about this before. She was like, why do you have so many slides? And it's just like, I have like slides just for me, so I know when I'm switching topics. And then I have slides that are like, this is the one point. Marcus Tandler, when he does his hour-long keynotes, and he's done them at like SMX Munich and stuff, I've seen some of his decks. He literally has like 300 to 500 slides.
Yeah.
And he just calls it like a slide firestorm where he just keeps going.
Well, that reminds me of how Larry Kim does it as well. Hundreds of slides, even for just a quick 20 or 30 minute presentation, but he's got one point on each slide, and that's what we're getting at here, people.
Yeah, and don't sit there and put like an entire essay on it.
No.
No one can read it. And think about, go back to your audience. Where's your audience? And who are they? And where are they going to be sitting? If you're at a really big auditorium or even a small room, or I've been in small rooms, and you know, you can't see squat. Like, when that font gets below like 30, I usually walk, I'll get my slides up there, or I'll walk into a room and I start looking to see like how big the font is and how big the screens are. Like, would someone in the back actually be able to read stuff? And yeah, the more words you put on it, the smaller the font's going to be. No one's going to be able to see anything. So you're going to be like, here's a great quote, you know, blah, 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 blah. And if you don't mention it and those people in the back can't see it, they're going to be like, well, that was a crappy quote, really, because I have no idea what it read.
Yeah. Well, and it also goes back to, you know, when you're talking about like how it looks and what people see and things like that, it makes me think of, you know, the example of outdated practices. Because have you ever, and I've been on these, and I know you have too, and we've probably texted about it before, but I'll be looking at a presentation and I'm like, hey guys, the early 2000s called and they want their PowerPoint back, you know? We've all seen it. Anyway, I'm not even going to get into all the different things, the outdated ways that people do PowerPoints, you know, even the simple just bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, like, let's just move on from that. But that kind of goes into another one of the points and kind of wrapping this part of it with the bad up with, you know, what we've been talking about kind of in this whole section here is just don't fill it up with a bunch of stuff that's not needed. Just have that one point. Don't have a bunch of slides. You know, we'll give you a link to this this blog post where we share some examples and some slides of how not to do it, and how it's like filled way too much, and how, you know, ones that are hard to read and things like that. So I think that's going to speak for itself, and probably we can jump on into the ugly. So
yeah.
Any thoughts though, before we jump into the ugly?
No, I mean, and that's a pretty good segue. I mean, the ugly is basically just, you know, don't put stuff on slides or in your deck for whatever it is for the sake of doing it. That said, I am often guilty. I have to have at least one cat photo somewhere.
Well, no. You got me wrong. I didn't say not to do it. I said know your audience. You may not have that cat slide in if you're trying to pitch someone for $20 million. I'm just saying.
No, exactly. And whenever I'm speaking, even if like, and recently I actually had to give a talk with someone else's deck. And I did that, and it was the first time that was interesting to do. I added a couple slides. I took out some slides for their examples and case studies that I just couldn't speak to. I left some others in that were very high level and easy for me to speak to, even though I didn't really know everything about it, but I could give it as an example and kind of quickly talk to it. But there was also just like, for me, there wasn't enough humor.
Gotcha.
Just to lighten it up over an hour talk. So I worked in like one cat photo, and it was just to mix it up. And it was, and I even said, I'm like, normally I have to have one cat photo on here. So here's my cat photo, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was just kind of a break between topics. And for me, it was just it was more of a reminder or something. But it was also, I knew my audience. I was talking to, you know, a room of like 250 people. And right after lunch, they were going to be a little tired, maybe food coma, check an email. I wanted to try to, you know, at some point, if I started to lose their attention, I wanted to make sure I got it back.
Yeah.
So there was a bunch of reasons for doing things. And, you know, as you read the blog post or as you listen to this, you're going to be like, no, there is a slide where I have to put all of this stuff on there.
Yeah.
That's fine. But then what you do is when they have that slide of like lists out all of these, you know, 50 things, break it up into groups or following that and say, okay, here's a list of everything we did this quarter, or here's everything, a list of all of the to-dos for this. Now we're going to break it up by team. And you could break it up into that. But if that's your only time and then you try to sit on that one slide for an hour, no one's going to care.
Yeah. All right. Well, the only thing that I would add to that in conclusion here is if you guys want some more examples of ugly, go and look at some of the first pitch or some of the first PowerPoints that I ever put out on SlideShare or uploaded to. I kind of feel bad sometimes. You know, I think back to when I first started presenting. I should probably, some of those people in attendance, a good thing they're not paying what they're paying just to see me, because if so, they would have had to get their money back. But luckily, we all get better and we progress. And again, that's the point of having this conversation and talking about this blog post. And I'm glad that we had the opportunity to do it. And so any final thoughts, Dave?
Nope.
All right. Well, for Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Siltala with Avalanche Media, and there will be links to all this that we talked about, and good luck with your pitch deck creations, guys, and we will catch you on the next podcast. Thanks for joining.
Thanks.